Welcome to the after session on soil fertilizer plant nutrition. And this morning we had a very fantastic talks, and I believe the talks this afternoon will be really excellent too. And our first talk will be from Dr. Ariel from Ezero, and he's going to talk about substitution of potassium by sodium.
Thank you. Next 15 minutes I will talk about a 6-year study of the response of olive trees to phosphorus nutrition. Olive is well adjusted to harsh environment. As you can see in the picture, it's practically growing without any soil. And also in practice, farmers for thousands of years grow olives in hillsides, in very shallow rocky soils, and they still produce fruits. But in the recent decades, there are more and more intensive irrigated orchards where yield can increase up to 5-fold, and these agricultural systems are getting more importance, for sure, in terms of production, and that's worldwide. So when we first addressed the question of olive fertilization, we realized that there's practically no knowledge in intensive agro-systems. So we initiated a basic experiment. Olive trees were grown in pots filled with perlite and irrigated with different levels of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Once you give them right conditions, they can grow very fast. After about 3 years, you can see the trees are about 4 meters high. We got very significant and pronounced effects for nitrogen, and you can see very classic response curves to nitrogen in the irrigation solution. We got very interesting results regarding phosphorus, and phosphorus increased flower quality and fruit set. Both minerals had very pronounced and significant effect on oil quality and oil composition. But when we looked at phosphorus for 4 years, in spite of very wide range of phosphorus concentration in the leaf from below 0.5% up to 2%, we still had no response in fruit yield and no response in biomass. 4 years after the initiation of the experiments, trees were practically the same. Well, potassium is essential macronutrient, very important, and we thought, what can be the reason? Well, because potassium is considered to be a drought stress inhibitor, we thought maybe that's the point. And to illustrate this point, I took the figure from a classic work of Sengupta, where he showed in wheat plants that if there is no water stress, leaf water potential is -1 megapascal, you have similar photosynthetic rate for the three studied potassium level. But when water stress increased and leaf water potential decreased to -2 megapascal, the low potassium plants had very dramatic reduce in photosynthetic rate, while the high potassium treatments had hardly any reduction in photosynthetic rate. That means that the response to potassium will be manifested only in conditions of water stress. So to examine this test, we took those trees that were grown for 4 years at different levels of potassium and placed them on a lysimeter system and induced gradual water stress during a month, reducing the amount of irrigation and monitoring water uptake and some physiological parameters. Here you can see the stomatal conductance during the drought period and the recovery. The blue line represent reference fully irrigated trees which had high and constant stomatal conductance. And you can see that the stress trees, regardless of the potassium level, different colors are different potassium levels, but that's not important because they're all were affected pretty much the same from the water stress. Stomatal conductivity decreased and increased back in the recovery at the same rate. Similar results were found for assimilation rate, photosynthetic rate, and the bottom line of this experiment is that even under water stress, we don't see any effect of the various potassium levels. We found that that was very strange because potassium considered to be highly important, especially in olives. And when we try to understand what we are missing, and when we look at the leaf analysis of these trees, you see the potassium in the irrigation and leaf potassium that responds to the potassium in the irrigation. And what was very interesting to see is that sodium was increased where potassium was low, sodium was high. And in the lowest potassium level, we had nearly double sodium than potassium in the leaf. And we know that some plant species are what Marshner classified as naturophilic. They benefit from sodium. There was nothing about olives. And our second hypothesis was, well, maybe sodium replaced potassium in the olive. To answer that question, we initiated a third experimental setup where we had treatments with no potassium and no sodium, no potassium and high levels of sodium and high levels of potassium. Once again, we monitored several physiological parameters, and indeed, after about 6 months, we saw for the first time deficiency symptoms of potassium that start from chlorosis and then necrotic tip that spread to the edges of the leaf. And does sodium replace potassium? Well, if you read the title, so you probably know the answer, and the answer is yes. That's about 1 year from the initiation of the experiment. You can see that the treatment that received sodium but no potassium was much bigger, less chlorotic than the unfertilized control, almost as big as the high potassium level. And that shouldn't surprise us, because as I said, we know this in other plant species. There was nothing on fruit trees. But sugar beet was studied extensively, and recently there was several publications from a French group on eucalyptus. But the question is, what exactly happens there, and what are the mechanisms? And the first thing we had in mind is that we were surprised stomatal movement was not affected from potassium level, because we know that potassium is the most important osmoticum in the guard cells of the stomata. The reduced of the osmotic potential is what driving the movement of stomata. So we sampled leaves of high and low potassium in the night where stomata supposedly closed, and in the day where stomatal conductivity is high, and analyzed for sodium in the guard cells of the leaves. And what we found, of course, in the high potassium and in the unfertilized control, we didn't find any or very little sodium in the guard cell, while in the high sodium treatment, we find much higher concentration, and the concentration in the day was 4 times higher than the night. That implies that sodium indeed substitute for potassium in the guard cell of the stomata, and maybe I have to be careful here because it's based on two trees. Maybe it allowed stomatal movement while potassium is deficient. A second symptom we saw is the chlorosis, clear chlorosis when potassium is deficient, and this chlorosis is caused by lack of chlorophyll, as you can see from destructive analysis, and largely recovered by the addition of sodium. But it was very much looked like nitrogen deficiency, this chlorosis. While we made mineral analysis of the leaf, we see that the nitrogen level in the low potassium treatment was even higher. That means that this chlorosis does not is not caused by nitrogen deficiency, but something else. We'll see. The most pronounced effect of potassium deficiency was the photosynthetic rate, and you can see here the diurnal curve of assimilation rate of well-irrigated and drought-stressed trees. The green line is the unfertilized control, and throughout the day it has the lowest photosynthetic rate, roughly half of the potassium trees, while addition of sodium recovered most of these photosynthetic depletion. Similar results were found under drought, although it was less pronounced. This is the stomatal conductivity, which was also lowest in the unfertilized control, and we had to ask ourselves our question if the depletion in photosynthetic rate is simply a result of the reduction in stomatal conductivity. And to do that, we did ACI curve, or assimilation response to carbon dioxide in the mesophyll cells. The x-axis is the carbon dioxide concentration in the mesophyll, and thus we avoiding the effect of stomatal resistance. And you can see that for any given carbon dioxide concentration, the unfertilized control has the lowest photosynthetic rate compared to the K or sodium fertilization, and that means that it's not the stomatal conductivity that impairs photosynthetic, but it's the photosynthetic system itself that's being impaired by potassium deficiency. Well, carbon dioxide assimilation is not the only process or important photosynthetic process. Day respiration, which is a major part of the photochemistry pathway, is also important, especially in high radiation environment, where the absorbed energy can go to photochemistry, either to carbon dioxide assimilation or day respiration, or oxidation, if you will. And the excess of energy that were not used for photochemistry can go to the non-photochemical quenching pathway, either released as heat, fluorescence, and if there's still excess of energy, we get damage, photoinhibition, what is called QI. And what you see here in these figures is the electron flow to carbon dioxide assimilation or photosynthesis and to respiration. And we can see that the control, the dashed line, has the lowest electron flow both to carboxylation and day respiration, much lower electron flow to day respiration, which means that in total, the amount of energy consumed on photochemistry processes is very low, which means that we expect to have higher non-photochemical process, and indeed we see higher non-photochemical ratio, which is result both from higher amount of heat released by the leaf, but also photoinhibition or damage. That can be the reason for the chlorosis in the leaf, that the amount of photochemistry is just too less and there's excess amount of energy. To sum up, we saw that in the presence of sodium, the olive tree can do pretty well with relatively low amounts of potassium. Potassium didn't modify drought tolerance, and stomatal movement was also unimpaired by potassium deficiency, and it's likely that sodium can be involved in that process. The main effect of potassium deficiency is impair photosynthetic processes. Both assimilation rate and respiration rate are impaired, decreased, and that caused excess of energy and eventually photoinhibition. Thank you very much.
That's a great talk with a very innovative results. We got time for a few questions. Any new thoughts, comments about what have we presented? Okay, great. Thank you.